You're listening to On Call with Dr. Sidney Miller on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.
In studio with me tonight, Dr. Ian Bradley, talking about workplace stress, workplace performance, just the general change in our whole work environment in our modern era, post-recession, what's going on, and how do you cope with all that stress, and the fact that the number one, two, and three reasons for people getting medical leave nowadays are stress, depression, and burnout, which are functionally interchangeable terms, aren't they?
Yeah, I don't spend too much time actually worried about a diagnosis. If we wanted to parse those words a little bit, burnout really means some kind of fatigue connected with your job that you find it difficult, too difficult sometimes even to get up in the morning, or you find it too onerous to do the things that you did automatically before it. Burnout also has a certain cynicism connected with it, especially in the service industry.
I think that's very interesting, and actually maybe it's a bad term. Maybe we should stop using it, but we'll get to that question in a moment. Let's take our first caller of the evening. We've got Michael on the line. Michael, good evening.
Good evening. I have more of a comment to suggest that a lot of people just put themselves through a lot of stress because they have high expectations. Now, usually that high expectations are credit cards maxed out, mortgage, children, car payments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, of course, they're going to be all stressed out. So if people don't know how to live within their means, I mean, it's not like the 70s where you brought home four paychecks a month. You lived on one, you paid your overhead on the other, and the other half you were able to bank. See? Now it's crazy. Dump off the kids at the daycare center. You know, that's the suffering to the relationships there. Of course people are going to be under stress.
So you just think it's the nature of our times?
No, your missed template is economics.
Well, I certainly agree with that, and the idea that's one of the reasons that work is stressful, because we lose freedom. We have no choice. We have to work. That's the only way that we're going to get a salary to pay those bills that you outlined. Obviously, if we're prudent, and that's what we have to learn in North America right now, according to most economists, we have to learn to save rather than to consume. Right. So you would have less pressure, certainly, if you're able to do that. But even if you don't have credit card debts, you still have to work. You still have to go in there and do something and satisfy some employer in order to get some paycheck.
Right. You were mentioning something about sports teams, Michael.
Well, economics also affects sports. Let's take the Montreal Canadiens, for instance, or any team. I would manage the team as such. Yes, seniority, you're making $1.2 million. There's no $4 or $5 million contracts. Okay? There are no price contracts or whatever. You earn your keep. Let's see what the stats say at the end of the year. Let's see if you take us to the playoffs. And then here's the rest of the $50 million or whatever the ceiling is.
Michael,
any sport, anywhere, you know, produce. You make it from the minors, you're making your $900,000, your $1 million a year guarantee.
Michael, I think that's actually a very good point, and probably I want to thank, that's good for the Habs show as well. I want to thank you very much for calling. Sports salaries are probably through the roof.
Yeah, but I think he was talking about a principle, and the principle that I read into, anyhow, this caller's comment was the idea that your performance should be related to what you get in terms of compensation.
Right.
And that's an important part of feeling that your work is meaningful. The idea that somebody has measured what you've done, they've taken into account your goals, and you've been rewarded in some suitable way.
And obviously that extends way beyond just sports teams. We're talking about more so in relationship to what we can all think about, which is just in terms of our own day-to-day workplace.
I agree. I think it should be an ingredient of every job. You know, I don't think we all need to get MBAs in order to be good managers. In fact, I often tell people that if they abided by these four basic principles that we just alluded to, tell people exactly what they're supposed to do, number one.
Ian, I'm just going to set you up on this because I want people to understand exactly what you're talking about here, which is the types of things where the organization itself, right? We're going to talk about the individual and how they, and Michael was just talking about how people sort of burden themselves with debt and then feel all this work pressure. And we know there are psychological reasons of need and love and et cetera that make people take work almost too seriously. But there's also organizational factors. And I wanted, and I know you have a real expertise in that, and I wanted you to share that. And I think that's what you're getting into here is the organizational principles. And folks, while you're listening to this, think about your own workplace and think about whether where you work actually does these things and or not, and how you think that might be impacting on how you're feeling. I want to give out the numbers again. 514-790-0991, Star Talk, that's Star 8255 on your cell. Ian, what are some of these institutional factors that are so important?
Oh, I think it's a great comment, and I hope your listeners are doing this. So number one, do you have definite targets? Was it clearly explained to you what you have to do? That's number one. Second of all, were you well-trained in how to execute in order to achieve those particular goals? Oftentimes, there are training programs, but people in industry react to them like time off. You know, it's like in high school when we got a day off to go to the museum. Right. It wasn't go to the museum. It was time off from algebra.
Right.
So the same idea with training right now. People view it as an extracurricular activity. So the training has to be meaningful. It has to help you achieve your own goals. It has to be tailor-made. There has to be follow-up. It can't just be a weekend where you go away and that's the end of it. So number one, are your targets clear? Were you trained in order to help achieve them? And third thing is there has to be some kind of measurement. There has to be a metric. Somebody has to go and see exactly where your performance is right now compared to your ideal, and then some kind of comparison about where you are in relationship to that ideal. And then the fourth one, which is so important, is recognition.
Yes.
And that's the simplest, and I don't know why it's not done, but it includes everything from a meaningful thank you to a pay raise. And if you have those four ingredients, and it's great that you ask your listeners about that, because I looked over my jobs and there are very few jobs that where I sort of had a check mark beside all those things. Sometimes I got a pay raise, but it was because of chronicity. I lasted a year and therefore I got an increase in pay. I don't think anybody ever told me how to be a chief psychologist.
Right.
And rarely was my performance measured except in the area of making sure that the budget was in check. So there are not many jobs, but if you have those jobs, you're going to harness people's potential. They'll have discretionary effort, and they'll be more than likely satisfied.
Perhaps, but let's say, imagine I'm an executive listening, and we know we have people from all levels of the workforce, from the owners of the companies
sure.
to the employees of the companies, people in corporate environments, people in family businesses, lots of different people listening in. And I'm listening to this, and let's say I'm one of those people who's a manager or owner, and I'm going, okay, well, Dr. Bradley, that's very, very nice. Targets, training, measuring performance, recognition, but I don't have time to do any of that. And why should I even do it? I have some deadlines to meet. I have margins to make. I have things to do. Why should I even do any of this? And it just sounds impossible.
You sound like one of the clients that I'm actually dealing with right now.
I know, I hear them too.
I think the alternative, though, is far worse. The alternative is that you will have stressed employees. You will have employees that are not working at their potential. And for a previous conversation, we know that stress in the workplace will likely lead to burnout and to disability, and then you'll have to replace the people that are absent. So I would just argue to get the most out of your people, these four simple things, and they really are simple. It's not a matter of rocket science here, nor does it take a lot of time. Saying thank you to somebody for a right. job well done, I think some of the reasons are that people don't believe that it has that powerful effect. They don't believe that the comment like that can make a difference. But if it comes from a manager who's well-liked, who's sincere about the compliment, then it works.
Right.
I think the other reason, and you alluded to one reason that people don't do this, is because they're harried and they're under pressure and they have a thousand things to do. But I think sometimes people don't reward and recognize for fear that if they ever did, then that would cause a status quo, that people wouldn't want to work after that. As soon as they got their M&M, and they would somehow quit.
Right.
And that's just not the case.
In fact, it's the opposite.
It's the opposite, exactly.
Right. 514-790-0991, Star Talk, that's Star 8255 on your cell. That's a free call on Bell Mobility. If you have a question for Dr. Bradley about your own work environment or perhaps some stresses, some problems you're having we're going to get into as well. What happens? What do you do when you have a problem with an employer or an employee for that matter? How do you broach the subject when you're in a power position where the person you have to speak to actually has authority over you? How do you deal with those types of questions? How do you know if you're burning out? We'll be talking about that as well. But it's so right how many people that I see don't get performance evaluations. Mm-hmm. And they go, you know, I don't know how I'm doing.
Yes.
And I don't understand if the job's good or not. And when they're talking about layoffs, I don't know where I stand in the organization because nobody ever tells me.
Yes.
There's poor communication. I don't know where the company's going. And I've even had the experience of doing interviews for a company where they wanted to figure out how the employees felt. They were trying to be more progressive. And it was very interesting that one of the questions we asked them is, would you leave this company for a 10% raise somewhere else? And this is actually a good company, and most of them said, no, I like working here. They appreciate what I do. I feel like I'm a part of something.
Yes.
And I'm not saying if somebody didn't double my salary, I wouldn't leave, but money's not the only reason I would leave, and I wouldn't leave this company unless it was an awful lot of money.
Yes.
So
yes.
It's not money that drives most employees. I mean, obviously, to some degree it is, but it's not, in many cases, the most important factor.
Oh, I agree. I think once the money is satisfied, then beyond that, in order to unleash what we would call discretionary effort, in other words, not just the effort from 9 to 5, the mandatory kind of thing, but the willingness to work overtime and the enthusiasm to get the job done, you don't unleash that discretionary effort unless people are recognized, unless they're rewarded. And I'm just a firm believer that in telling people that they've done a great job, and it doesn't have to be an elaborate, I'll take you out on your birthday. In fact, it should happen as all good reinforcement as soon as their behavior has occurred, as soon as they've achieved whatever it is. So that kind of recognition is so important in unleashing this discretionary effort.
So think about it, folks. If your company has or doesn't have definite targets for you, in other words, a good job description of what you're supposed to be doing, good training, so critical. I speak to lots of managers who are owners of small businesses who do no training, and it's obvious. That's why these guys can never leave the office or never leave the field, because they can't trust anybody to do the job because they haven't trained anybody to do the job.
Exactly. And we mentioned targets. It's not only, I want to be clear about this, it's not only the output as to what the goal would be, but it's also the process.
Right.
Because I've seen a number of employees that come in and they're constantly berated because their boss is telling them to go faster. But it's not terribly clear as to how to go faster. So a boss, when you're setting targets, you have to attune to the process as well. How, in what way is the worker supposed to work more efficiently or work faster? That's why good bosses know inherently the nature of the work. So it's when you're setting targets, it's important to keep in mind, too, the how as well as the what in terms of the output.
So if your workplace does not have these four critical components, I want you to give us a call and let us know how you're coping with that unhealthy situation. If your company is fulfilling these needs, that would be wonderful to hear about that company. Unfortunately, there aren't too many of those out there. Mm-hmm. If you'd like to implement this, all kinds of questions to ask tonight. 514-790-0991. StarTalk, that's *8255 on your cell. We're going to take a quick break here. And coming up, how do you know if maybe you are on the verge of a burnout? My name is Dr. Sidney Miller. You're listening to On Call with Dr. Sidney Miller here on Montreal's News Talk Leader, CJAD 800.